Blog Talk Radio.
Karate Talk Live starts now. Welcome to the show. I'm Vinny. And last week we had technical issues with the host site, blogtalkradio.com, so we couldn't go live, so you had to pick it up on podcast, but that's okay. Doing live and on podcast is different things. Podcasts usually are pre-recorded. Part of one you also check out if you want to listen to topics of the week. It's hosted by my buddy Jeff Sandor. Racing fans, if you remember the country music TV's history of NASCAR, he played Dale Earnhardt. And if you caught him on History Channel's The Food That Built America, he played Colonel Sanders. And he's done a few other things here and always been good enough to come on Garage Talk Live. And he asked me to be part of his podcast, They Still Live. It's on Anchor FM or Spotify, depending on which one you have, or both, actually. So we talk about things. I throw a little Vinnie flair in it. Anybody that knows me knows my on-air here is a little not as risque as my real-life personality. But I'm still positive and upbeat and talk about things like lockdown and gyms and how it's affected this and protests and riots and how it's affected everybody. And, you know, is it real? Well, it's real, but is it by design? Anyway, check out They Still Live. I usually share it on my regular Facebook page. So if you're a friend, a Facebook friend, and you want to check it out, I usually share it when it's put up. I usually like to go live. That's why I do this. And it's easier to, I don't know. With a podcast, you can, I'll give you the rundown on it. Can pre-record and edit out like unrelated banter. And I usually have this show rated PG. But the podcast, there's no matter. So, and if you're not afraid of the F-bomb, then they do get, and the S-word, they do get allowed to fly. So, anyway, that's just neither here nor there. Been a busy week in racing. Two truck races at Kansas. One cup race. Cup has a light weekend. And the weird thing about it is they were on Friday. And you had trucks on Saturday and trucks in Xfinity on Sunday. And Arca was in there as well on Friday. So it's been a busy weekend at the tracks. And next weekend, well, this coming weekend, which would be the weekend of the 31st of July, 1st and 2nd of August. I'm staring at a calendar that only ends in July, so I'm taking a wide berth. And only have the cup this weekend. So I'll have to check, see what else is going down. Maybe ARCA as well. Let's take a look at them. Their schedule. 20 schedule and results. Kansas, Toledo. This is the next one, but let me go to their homepage because when you have their schedule, it's a little so. We'll see what they got there. Yes, they have one Friday, the Menards.com. Menards was the series sponsor. They got the also coming up the Menards.com 200 presented by SPXE at 8 p.m. Friday night race. And then they have Friday schedule and Saturday schedule, but I don't see any television. I just go to broadcast, and this is the original seasonal schedule. Come on, guys, update this stuff, will you? Nah, they don't do that. Okay, well, that's when you get everybody right. At least NASCAR on their homepage will put the next race where it's at, which channel you can come on. And like I said, this weekend will be at New Hampshire for NASCAR Cup Series only. It'll be a Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern. I wonder if NHRA is back in town. Let's take a peek. Because they've been off for a week, so we'll see. Yes, no, the week after. Off this weekend, so it's going to be a light weekend for racing. You know what that means? Maybe I can have somebody call in. We'll talk about anything. I don't care. So NHRA will be back in Indianapolis. They had two events in consecutive weekends. The finals got rained out. So they're adding that to this next weekend schedule from August 6th to 9th. So they will run the finals from the last Indy event at the Lucas Oil Raceway. And then they'll have the U.S. Nationals, which is their big one, I think, I think it's the U.S. Nationals. I don't know. They used to say it, what it is. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. All right, let's get down to it. ARCA in action at Kansas. You know about Kansas? Not Wizard of Oz, Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore, and tornadoes and stuff. You're in the what they call Tornado Alley. Anyway, from the top 10, Brett Holmes takes the checkered flag. Ryan Repko, second. Riley Herbst, third. Corey Heim was fourth. Tanner Gray, fifth place. Moving, he's getting this oval track series down. He might become an ARCA champion. He just has to be in it long enough and have some better finishes. But, you know, when you run out a whole series, takes a little bit. Number six, sixth place, Michael Self. Seventh, Drew Dollar, another Venturini. Billy Venturini, listed as the owner of Repco's car. Kathy Venturini, Michael Self's car. And Bill Venturini, that's Bill Sr., as Drew Dollar's car. But they're all the same family. It's all the same race team. It's all the same shop. Anyway, number in eighth, Derek Griffith. Ninth, Haley Deegan. Rounding out the top 10, Thad Moffitt. Nine cars on the lead lap. Three cautions for 10 laps. Margin of victory. Ooh, that's a big gap. 14 and a half seconds. Attendance, no attendance. One lead change. That means against one lead change with two drivers. So laps led out of 100. Brett Holmes, and the only other person to lead any laps, Riley Herbst. Everybody else, no issue. Caution flag breakdown. Number eight on the backstretch. Three cautions, huh? For 10 laps. And they got one listed as a break. Oh, good. They have the points all on the same page. At lap 31 and at lap 61, break number two. It sounds like a stage type of situation, only they're calling it a break because you don't get stage points. And being NASCAR owns ARCA, we're waiting for stuff to change. Anyway, there's your points. After the race, Michael Self leads the points, but he's got a slight margin of only 9 over Brett Holmes. Drew Dollar is third. Haley Deegan maintaining the fourth spot. Thad Moffitt fifth. Ty Gibbs sixth. Ryan Huff seventh. Tanner Gray eighth. Haley's had a few better finishes than Tanner. And ninth, Sam Mayer. And tenth is Chandler Smith. So, again, Arca in action. This weekend, along with the Cup Series. So it's going to be a lot of social distancing, I think, and no fans in the ARCA race, and NASCAR probably has a slight limit. Let's get into this weekend's events of the Parents Company Series, NASCAR. Two truck races, one on Friday, one on Saturday. Let's take a look at that one. Now remember, okay, I was confusing myself here. Austin Hill takes the win. You won't see Kyle Busch in this. I think he ran his limit in truck series races. I could be wrong, but don't quote me on that. Brett Moffitt was second. Grant Enfinger third. Hill led four times for 65 laps. He led the most in the race out of the 134, so that's almost half. Grant Enfinger third. Matt Crafton fourth. Derek Krause, a rookie, fifth. Zane Smith, another rookie, sixth. Ben Rhodes, seventh. Sheldon Creed, eighth. Johnny Sauter, ninth. And Todd Gilliland rounds out the top 10. Christian Eckes, who finished second, started from the pole. It's not a times pole. It's a pull-your-name-out-of-a-hat pole. Where Tanner Gray did run this one as well. He's a rookie, and he finished 18th. So they're grooming him in ARCA, and he'll be moving into other areas. Ladies in the field, should have been three. I'm seeing Natalie Decker, and finishing 21st. Jennifer Jo Cobb, finishing 31st. It's only two this time. Angela Ruck did not enter because I don't see her name and it did not qualify. So that wasn't the case. It was a pick and choose which one she wants to run in, and Kansas wasn't it. Jennifer Jo owns her own team. And she's been doing this for years, and Kansas is her home track. It's where she's from. And Natalie Decker ran in ARCA. They moved her up to the truck series to run full-time, so she's got a little growth and development now as far as her team goes and equipment. That's debatable. So, we'll see if she stays. Now, Haley Deegan, she's a really good driver, and she's with a decent team in ARCA right now. And I guess they're trying to grow themselves. It's owned by Dave Gilliland, so. We'll see where that goes. Sometimes the money, you can draw a major sponsor, and that's what you need. And Haley has Monster. I know so does Kurt Busch and all that, but is there anything like Bass Pro Shops, who sponsors three different teams? They're on Truex, one of Tony Stewart's vehicles. So you can see that out. Anyway, here's your little rundown. 1 hour, 35 minutes, 27 seconds. Average speed, 126. 0.349 miles an hour. Margin of victory, just a hair under, we'll just call it 3 seconds. I can get into details, but 16 lead changes amongst 8 drivers, 4 cautions for 19 laps, 2 incident, 2 stage conclusions. So it was a pretty clean race. Austin Hill's 5th victory in 83 Truck Series races. First win this year and 8th top 10. And his first one at Kansas. Highest finishing rookie, Derek Krause in 5th. It's the first victory for Hattori Racing Enterprises at Kansas Speedway. In the points, top 10 make the playoffs. Austin Hill leads the points. He's got 1 win. Ben Rhodes 2nd. Sheldon Creed 3rd with a win. Christian Eckes 4th. Brett Moffitt 5th. Grant Enfinger 6th. No win. Zane Smith 6th. Excuse me. No wins. Grant Enfinger with 2 wins. 7th. 8th, 9th, and 10th is Todd Gilliland, Matt Crafton, and Derek Krause. With Tyler Ankrum 4 points behind Krause in 10th. So, and the former champ Johnny Sauter not having a good year. He is in 12th, but he's 22 points out of 11th. So, no, it's 22 points out of 10th, which is the playoff spot. So you got a tough road to hoe there because you don't get too many points. But, hey, a good day for him, a bad day for the other two, and that's how he could be. Well, we do have the winner of ARCA, Brett Holmes. Let's hear what he had to say. I should have looked here first.
All right, here we go. Joined by the man of the hour. He called his shot on Wednesday afternoon. Brett Holmes, winner of the Dawn 150. You look very relieved there, young man. Nice job. Congratulations. What did you see out of the windshield of your car tonight? Not wasn't very many race cars, that's for sure.
Yeah, probably the least part of being on my windshield in forever. You know, it's, like you said, definitely a relieving feeling, man. It's been the longest period of time since I've been in Victory Lane back in the late model days. So, you know, it's, I feel like this is what we've been working for a few years. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of time on the road, and a lot of time away from family and friends. And, you know, it was all worth it to get to this point. I'm just very, very thankful to be sitting here.
Before we open it up to questions, we do have some guys on deadline. You did call it on Wednesday. Obviously, you had a very good feeling about this. What exactly made you so confident going in tonight? What did you feel about this race team that was going to allow you to park it in Victory Lane tonight?
You know, I don't know. I just had a really good feeling about it for whatever reason. And, you know, we've been running too well lately for it not to happen soon enough. And, you know, our intermediate stuff has been really good. We had a ton of long run speed compared to the other guys. We fell off really hard, and we just kept staying the same pace. And, you know, Shane and Chris, AJ, Aaron, Ryan, those guys at the shop, they've been thinking of any ways to improve our car and not just, you know, stay kind of stagnant what we've been doing. So that's really been the difference.
There you have Brett Holmes, your ARCA Series winner. Alrighty, let's go for your Truck Series winner. That would be Austin Hill. I should have did the Cup first because they ran Thursday. But it's just weird. Anyway, here's Austin Hill, your race winner. His crew chief is Scott Zipadelli. Sound familiar? It's Greg Zipadelli's brother, I think, or son. They're family anyway. So he had a good teacher, Greg Meehan, Tony Stewart's crew chief for a number of years, and joined Stewart Haas Racing. So, you know, some good genes there. Anyway, here's Austin Hill.
They looked like they had a right front tire down or something down. And, you know, I looked over and glanced over my spotter. I was like, he's going to make it back. It's okay. And, you know, those last 20 laps, they felt like the longest race of my life, just because you're thinking of what's going to happen next. You know, when is that caution going to come out? How late is the caution going to come out? And, you know, what kind of a restart are we going to get? And all those things just started going through my head. And did I save enough tires? And just a lot of things that just were kind of going through my head. I knew we had a really good truck all night, but I just didn't know how much tire I had to save if we did have a late race restart. And, you know, like I said, I'm so glad that it just stayed green. It made my life a lot easier just being able to finish it off.
There you have Austin Hill, winner of Truck Race 1. Let's go to truck race number 2. Matt Crafton takes the checkered flag. It's his, is it his first or second? We'll get to that in a minute. Been a while since he's been in victory lane, that I can tell you, this year anyway. Christian Eckes into second. Grant Enfinger third. Tanner Gray fourth. He's climbing that hill. Ben Rhodes fifth. Speaking of hill, Austin Hill, previous day's winner, sixth. Derek Krause, seventh. Brandon Jones, eighth. Zane Smith, ninth. Chase Purdy rounds out the top 10. Where's my girls at? Jennifer Jo Cobb, 32nd. Natalie Decker, 35th. Couch. Had a better day on the day before. So Travis Pastrana decided to hop it back into NASCAR for a race. He was 22nd. Remember, it was Ultra Pastrana Racing, and they ran the Xfinity Series, so Travis could drive the car. Anyway, your biggest lap leader was Zane Smith in 9th, twice for 50 laps. Crafton led twice for 23, two biggest lap leaders, a race hour and 58 minutes long. Average speed, 102. The margin of victory here was a lot closer, 0.32 seconds. Fifteen lead changes amongst 9 drivers. 9 cautions for 38 laps. A little bit not as clean. Big one on lap 84. Which led to a red flag, so I don't have to list it for a 3-lap yellow, for 5 minutes and 7 seconds, okay, on the front stretch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 vehicle wreck. This one turned into another, which added a mess as everybody got gathered up, the 9, the 10, Jennifer Jo. Jennifer Jo's usually in the 10. That's her number. Yep. Nasty wreck. In the points, Austin Hill leads the points. We didn't lose much between days. Ben Rhodes second. Christian Eckes third. Zane Smith fourth. Matt Crafton fifth. I mean, Brett Moffitt fifth. Matt Crafton sixth. Get ahead of myself. He does have some playoff points. Grant Enfinger, sixth. Matt Crafton, sixth. Grant Enfinger, seventh. I'm always missing the number. Shelton Creed, eighth. Derek Krause, ninth. Todd Gilliland, tenth. There's your playoffs. Tanner Gray, 13th, but he's got a ways to go. Our winner, from Saturday, Matt Crafton.
All right, Matt, can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, congratulations on that victory. Hard to believe it's been 3 years since you won, but just talk a little bit about what it really feels like to be back in victory lane.
It feels like a month off of back gorilla with all that weight we've been carrying around. And everybody, that's all they always want to talk about is we haven't won in 3 years and how many races have we been. Just keep your head down and keep focused and not worry about that and keep doing what you're doing. It's all about these guys. I mean, these guys haven't let it bother them. At least they play it off. It hasn't bothered them. But I can't be happy enough for every one of these guys. I mean, Duke and Ron, the first, and everybody that always believes in it. I know we won the championship last year and won it without winning the race, but at the end of the day, all the naysayers, I still have that trophy in my living room. And but we started picking up that speed that we have this year at the end of last year, and it all paid off. We went to homestead, but a lot of hard work by these guys.
All right, we're going to roll straight into questions. We have several, so we are going to take our first question from Lee Spencer. Lee, go ahead with your question.
Thank you. I was just kind of curious, Champ. What is it? It's been in the last month or so where you had three, you know, top five finishes. What changed from before the, you know, before that? Is there something that you guys have found, or, you know, what precisely is it that you guys have latched on to?
Let's go back to the beginning of the year. We ran really, really well at Las Vegas, and we ran top five there. Back from the pandemic, and we went to Charlotte. We led last. We were really fast, ran top five all night. We were the track part of spring. And the next week, we ran down pit road in Atlanta. And we were homestead. We blew the right front tire. We hit the fence. And we had the speed, but everybody didn't realize we were finishing 35th. Or we didn't get wrecked a lot in quarter one. And, I know we've had the speed, but at the end of the day, I mean, we have four races and your average finish somewhere in the 30s probably. It definitely set everybody down with it, but in the day, these guys working so hard every week to keep me on 30.
Has there had been some adjustment that Dorsport has made since you're dealing with a great engine and not with the, I guess, the Yates power plants? I mean, do you kind of have to look at other places to find that speed that you've been familiar with in the past?
But I always say it's hard to teach an old dog new trick. At the end of the day, I get used to driving a motor package that has a lot more acceleration than what the motors that we're running right now. And it has hurt my driving style some. And it's hard to teach yourself a different driving style with these things. So I think I'm getting
it. Congratulations to you and Junior. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to take our...
There is Matt Crafton. So, two down, two to go. The Xfinity Series on Saturday. Usually everything culminates with the Cup Series. I don't know why NASCAR did that. Maybe get a few viewers on Thursday because, you know, not too many people watch the rest of the week. I mean, you can just tell by the amount of fans in the stands back in the day when they had fans. The lower the series, the less of the attendance. And sometimes the racing was better in the Truck Series than the Cup Series, but it's just how it goes. Everybody wants to see the big-time guys. Anyway, let's go to Xfinity. Brandon Jones, who's the headliner of the weekend, takes the checkered flag. Austin Cindric, who won three straight, two on his own, once by Kyle Busch getting disqualified, winds up second again, and as far as I know, they didn't know. They posted that if something happened. He did pass post-race inspection and wound up second. He led the most laps, though. He led three times for 131 of the 175 laps, so he must have screwed up in the pits at the end somewhere. Something happened, and don't quote me, you know, people do lead a ton of laps and don't win, but I This time it happened again, so Cindric second. Harrison Burton, young rookie, one of the Burton clan. I think he is he Jeff Burton's son or Ward's son? He's Jeff's son. He came in third. Ryan Sieg in fourth. Ross Chastain in fifth. There's all your lap leaders in the top five. Your second most laps led was Ryan Sieg. Ross Chastain led a lap. And Brandon Jones led twice for 10. And Harrison Burton led once for 8. Cindric led won both stages. So he got 2 playoff points out of it. Where if he won, he could have won all stages. He could have had 7, but that's not how it is. 6th place, Justin Haley. Daniel Hemric in 7th. Michael Annette, 8th. Riley Herbs, 9th, rounding out the top 10. The Little Gator, Justin Allgaier. Race was 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 7 seconds. 37 seconds. Average speed, 126.388. Margin of victory, 0.405 seconds. Nine lead changes amongst 5 drivers. 5 cautions for 22 laps. A competition, 2 stage conclusions were your first 3, and the last 2 were incident related. The last one coming on lap 170. They took the green on lap 174, so I guess it was a green-white checker. They ought to post on the thing overtime win or not, but if it was overtime, it was by 1 lap. On the points now, with 3 wins, leading the points is Austin Cindric. 3 wins in a row, actually. Chase Briscoe with 5 wins. That's 4 points back. That's doable. Noah Gragson is in 3rd. He's got 2 wins. Ross Chastain in 4th. No wins. 5th, Justin Haley. Harrison Burton, 6th. Justin Allgaier, 7th. Brandon Michael Annette, 8th. Brandon Jones, 9th. Riley Herbs, 10th. 11th, Ryan Sieg. And Brandon Brown is 12th. So Haley with a win. Harrison Burton with 2. And Brandon Jones with 2 are your the rest of your top 12 playoff contenders with wins. Everybody else has to fight to get in on points. And let's see how close it is from the top of the bubble to under the bubble. Jeremy Clements, 2 points out of a playoff spot. I know he did get a win on a road course a couple years ago. And did lock into a playoff spot. Of course, he does have help from Richard Childress Racing. So it's not a Childress team. It is owned by Jeremy Clements. It's a individually owned team, which is kind of refreshing. But, you know, sometimes you got to get equipment from somewhere else. As good as Kyle Busch is, a lot of his stuff is Joe Gibbs material. And why wouldn't you? You're one of the best guys on one of the best teams, so you're going to use some of the best equipment. And you got some major sponsors for your vehicle. Let's see what our winner had to say. Mr. Jones.
All right, Brendan, can you hear us?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, congratulations on that victory.
Yeah, thanks. That was quite the finish for sure. I was not expecting to get a launch like that, but I just was continuing to switch things up and try stuff, and the last one was the one that needed the work, and it did, so it was good.
Well, good Good deal. Congratulations. Big day for Menards with Matt taking home the Truck Series victory earlier today, and then obviously you taking home the NASCAR Xfinity Series victory. So we're going to roll straight into questions and get started here, and we will take our first question from Bob Hoffert. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Brandon, if you didn't have the win earlier this year and you had the struggles that you had, do you think it would you have been any less willing just to make that type of move just to have maybe a good day?
No, not necessarily. I knew trying to get as much as I could on these restarts as I could. It's going to be so big. I think I would have done that regardless, trying to just make anything of it. You know, you want to try to win every race that you're in. So I personally had no clue that was going to be as strong as it was. But when I got to turn one, man, I had so much grip. And I think that myself and Jeff Mindring did a really good job today of kind of communicating on what the car, you know, really needed to have some speed. So that's kind of what we saw at the end there, I think.
And was there a point in that last lap where you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm leading this thing?
I was pretty surprised. Me and the 22 have had our ups and downs this year a little bit, and he ran me really clean. He ran me hard, which you're supposed to. I think that's the exact way to race right there. And so I was a little worried with him on my right rear, but it all worked out at the end.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Todd Engel with the Kansas City Star. Todd, go ahead.
Thank you, sir, about that. Can you just sort of walk us through what it's like to run two races in the span of 6 hours in this type of heat, and how you're still able to kind of have enough at the end there to keep your focus and make the move that you did?
Yeah, pretty brutal, man. I don't know any other way to put it. You know, I ran the race yesterday too, and I've never done triple header like this before. This was pretty hard on the body, and I tried to go get an IV, and the doctor yesterday wanted me to do it naturally. So that was a challenge. You know, I mean, trying to put that much water down after you just lost after a truck race was tough. So there was a lot that went into it, man. I did, you know, absolutely no caffeine coming into it this week, you know, and then just trying to maximize as much water as I could in my body. I felt pretty fine now. I was definitely hurting at the end. I was getting to the point of, you know, my face throbbing, feeling pretty sick. So I don't know, man. I kept in the game. When you're in the car, you forget about that stuff, and then when you get out, you really realize how bad it is.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Aaron Burton. Aaron, go ahead.
Brandon, congrats on the win. So, first of all, when you're going into the last restart sitting like you were seventh, is that something where you strategize in your head, maybe I can go here and dive up here, or when you get to the front like that, is it just for the moment, finally getting lucky for what breaks?
Yeah, you kind of have to look ahead on that. You know, you have to see, obviously, what lane's taking off better really, really quick. You got to figure that out fast. And then you're listening to the spotter the whole time. You know, you're trying to listen to see if you got a quick gap to move up top. For me, I thought the middle to the top was really my dominant two lanes of the day. And so I was listening to that the whole time and just trying to go with it or not. That was the biggest thing. They all wanted the bottom, and that's great when I see that because that means they're going to get bottled up pretty bad. So, all that stuff you got to kind of look at when you get in a restart late in the race.
And I'm sure I don't have to tell you this, but you had kind of a brutal stretch to open this month. You had 4 straight DNFs. How rewarding is it after you go through a stretch like that to be able to bounce right back top 10 last week and then win this week?
It's rewarding, but, you know, in my eyes, not really surprising. When we've had all this stuff go down and happen these last 4 races, I have felt that, you know, we've been running good. We've been running top 5. We've had every single race lap time to compete to win the race. So it's just putting them together. Staying out of the incidents, you know, having decent days on pit road, all that stuff potentially adds up. And, you know, if you can capitalize on everything, then you have a shot at it at the end.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take our next question from Lewis. Lewis, go ahead with your question.
How gratifying is to get this win with Jeff? He's been with you for the past couple of years, especially that top stretch, and now pulling a win like that where in some cases, people have labeled you as being a guy that doesn't belong and all that. How much of this would prove that you have done it in various ways? Like, go back to Phoenix, you beat Kyle Busch. How right now with this restart with the win?
Yeah, it kind of makes me laugh when people are so shocked that we win the race. I mean, we've had speed every single race this year. To be honest, in the past, we've had so much speed, too. It's just, like I mentioned before, closing these things out and, you know, optimizing the little things. So the cool thing about, you know, winning with this group is we're not just work colleagues. We're best friends, you know. I mean, this whole team is, I feel like a brotherhood, and we all have each other's back. No one questions anything anybody does. I feel like when one person, you know, is not able to do something, the next guy steps up automatically, and no one questions it. So we're a really strong group, a really strong team, and I kind of praise my guys on that, and that's kind of what I like to do.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Okay, we're going to go to our next question from Sterling with KCOU. Sterling, go ahead.
Thank you. Brandon, congrats on the win today. Third career Xfinity win, two of them coming here at Kansas Speedway. I guess the question I could ask is, whenever you arrived at Kansas, is there some kind of special feeling? Because I know this is the side of your first career win that came last October.
Yeah, I don't come here thinking that this is, you know, my all-time favorite racetrack. I definitely like running here, and I felt that today we had at times the car to lead the race, but just kind of struggled to get going a couple times. So in that sense, we weren't able to do it. But it came down to these last restarts like this, both of these races. So I think it really shows how strong we can be on these restarts, because both races that we've won here came down to these restarts.
Thanks, Brandon. Congrats.
There you have Brandon Jones picking up his second win of the season. And his third overall in Xfinity in 154 races. Harrison Burton, the highest finishing rookie, and again, Brandon Jones in a Joe Gibbs machine, the number 19. And one of the questions was about beating Kyle Busch. So it happens. Trust me. Too often for Kyle, but it does happen. Anyway, the opening act of the weekend, the Cup Series. That's weird. And I don't know what NASCAR is thinking. But that's how things shook out. Weird having the, what's usually the last race of the weekend is the first race of the weekend. Anyway, Denny Hamlin, he's on the tear this year. I wonder if the quarantine helped Joe Gibbs Racing, because he's going to be having a good year, especially Denny Hamlin's crew. Takes the win, regulation finish, 267 laps. Led four times for 57 laps. Brad Keselowski was second four times for 30 laps. Martin Truex third four times for 44 laps. Another Gibbs car. Second most leader, led one time for 52 laps, was another Joe Gibbs car, who we're just talking about, Kyle Busch. But he wound up 11th, so I mean, you can lead them. So just because you dominate a race, like I said, the last one came down to a restart. The first one came down to a restart. Anyway, and sometimes you get the good launch, you get the lead, and you can hold them off. Kevin Harvick was fourth. He was your pole sitter, your pole draw. Eric Jones, fifth. Oh, look, Joe Gibbs Racing. Eric Almirola, sixth. Cole Custer, 7th. Alex Bowman, 8th. Kurt Busch, 9th. And William Byron rounds out the top 10. Got a few Hendrick Chevys in there and some What am I looking at? One. Stuart Haas, two Stuart Haas Ford, three Stuart Haas Fords, and one Ganassi Chevy. Just double checking. As I kept looking, and we have a Brad Keselowski Ford. A lot of Fords in the top 10. I'll leave it at that. 3 hours, 17 minutes, 14 seconds. Average speed, 121.8. Margin of victory, half a second. There were 21 lead changes amongst the nine drivers. All but two in double digits. Ryan Blaney was the last one with only 15 laps led. And then Harvick and Bowman, Harvick just missed double digits by a lap, and Bowman only led once for six. 11 cautions for 47 laps. Red flag for 2 minutes and 45 seconds on the backstretch. From lap 183 to 186, that was the yellow count. With the win, it's Hamlin's 42nd in 525 Cup Series races. Fifth this year and 11th top 10. Fourth time in his career, he has won five or more races in a season. 2010, 2012, last year, and this year. Third victory and ninth top 10 in 24 races at Kansas. This ties him with Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, and Kevin Harvick for series most wins at Kansas. All the victories and not a championship. That's the holy grail he's looking for right now. Let's hear from him before we make our picks for New Hampshire. There is Denny Hamlin on his win, starting off the weekend.
Mm-mm. Right.
There we go.
We are now joined by our race winner, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 Toyota with Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny, we are going to go straight to questions for you, and we will start off with Bob Cocker.
Yeah, Denny, does outrunning Harvick, and does that help you, do you feel like, mentally going into the playoffs and or potentially for the championship race?
Not really. I mean, because every track is so different. I mean, you know, especially with the news of, like, no practice, it's like, oh, boy. this season is going to come down to really a big old crapshoot at the end. Hopefully you got your car unloaded nicely, but you don't feel like you're in a one-up position, I guess you could say, by beating them. But, you know, I thought that we were in trouble. Our car didn't have the all-out speed that a couple cars did. Certainly, it looked like he had a ton of speed, but to kind of out-duel him at the end, gratifying, but it only lasts this week. It doesn't give me any false confidence going forward.
Thank you.
You got it.
Next, we'll go to Kelly Crandall.
Thank you. Hey, Danny, you had said, I think back at Pocono, that it's not championship or bust, because a lot of people obviously will be quick to point out, well, you've never won a championship, but you've got three Daytona 500s. Now you've got 11 wins in the last 2 years. So in general, how do you feel now just about your career, how things are going, and where you stand in the sport when you take aside, like you said, it's not championship or bust?
Yeah, I mean, I love winning, and I just want to get to as many wins as I possibly can, and hopefully I win the last race of the season. That's the goal, but there are no guarantees. We're putting together a very, very solid season in many, many aspects. And that to me is a great season. If we can somehow get to the final four, that we have accomplished our goal. From that point on, this last 301 laps or whatever it is at Phoenix, we'll give it our best shot and see where we stack up.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Jordan Bianchi.
Denny, throughout the night, different drivers looked like they were in the picture to win this race, the 18, the 24, the 12, and you and Kevin kind of were running well, but maybe not in the mix. But when it comes down to it, though, you guys were deciding the outcome of this race. Do you look at that and just kind of like, this is how it goes this year, this is who we are, this is what we are, we are the two drivers that are separating ourselves from everyone else, and we're going to be fighting for it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're doing a great job of putting ourselves in really good positions to win races. And obviously, you know, we really could have a boatload of wins right now. It's incredible. Chris set a very lofty goal at the beginning of the season. How many races do you think we're going to win? And I said, you're nuts. And I'm thinking, wow, you blown tires away from really making it happen. We still can get there. So I just he's bringing fast cars, and you know we're executing. I'm not making really many mistakes behind the wheel right now, and that's we're putting ourselves in contention. When we restarted fifth right there, with 20 some to go, I really didn't like our chances that much. But I was just trying to execute every restart perfectly. We were able to get to third, another restart, like execute that one nicely, and we were able to battle it out. So this is a well executed race. We won today with probably not the best car.
There's Denny. And let's take a look at the points. Yes, the points. Who leads the points? Still, Kevin Harvick with 4 wins. Brad Kay, second with 2 wins. Ryan Blaney with 1 win. Denny Hamlin in fourth with 5 wins. And he has the most playoff points. That counts toward the final race. 6 over second place, 6 over points leader Harvick. Anyway, Chase Elliott is 5th with a win. Joey Logano, 6th with 2 wins. Martin Truex, 7th with a win. Eric Almirola in 8th. Kyle Busch in 9th. Kurt Busch in 10th. No wins. Alex Bowman, 11th. 1 win. Clint Boyer, Matt DiBenedetto, 12-13. William Byron, 14. Tyler Reddick, 15. And Eric Jones, 16. With no wins. But they get bounced down 2 spots because Eric Jones has a win. And 16th, take that back. Austin Dillon has a win in 17th. And Cole Custer has a win in 19th. So they are locked in, which will bump Tyler Reddick and Eric Jones out of here when the final seeding takes place. I wish they would line the points up, the standings up according to wins, which will give them your seed if they want to do it points-wise with wins for locked in, and then the non-winners from most points to least points through 16. Probably be easier to me have to go through all this garbage. But, hey, that's the way it is. Anyway, we're just about out of time, so we're going to check out. We're going to check out. We're going to check out. Don't mind me. New Hampshire, who do I like? This year's been different. No, ouch. Let me guess. Kyle Busch, the 4 times for 118 laps, wound up 8th. Will he get his first win? Denny Hamlin, 1 time for 113 laps, finished 2nd. Kevin Harvick, 3 times for 41 laps, took the win. Denny Hamlin just won. Harvick's got a few. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go with Harvick. Poor Kyle. I would have loved to give it to him, but I'm going to go to Harvick because it seems like Harvick and Hamlin, the 2 H's, have been battling it out for the most wins this year. So I'm going to go with the Harv. And we'll see what happens Sunday. Like I said, it's going to be a late show, so maybe I'll see what I can do for a guest. So we'll see you all next week. I'm your host, Vinny B. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. Check us out. If you don't catch us live, go to that and check the podcast. We have archived shows, and that's how it goes. Live to pod. Live to Kive. Yeah, that sounds better. All right. Good day and good racing. Bye now.